This podcast is a part of the Neuhoff Media Podcast Network.
Welcome to Byers & Company. I'm Kevin Brahaney. I am sitting in for Brian today. He's taking a day off. I'm not sure where he's at today. He might be on assignment. He might just be taking the day off. But he asked me to sit in, and I said, of course, I'll sit in. And whenever I can sit in with Nick Smith, I enjoy it too. How you doing, Nick? How was your weekend?
I'm doing okay, thanks, Kevin. Okay weekend. How about yourself?
It was a great weekend. It was too windy to play golf.
Yeah.
I tried that last week. It's harder to play golf in the wind. Yeah. You know, it's just not as much fun. So you know what I did? I laid around on Saturday. Well, I went, had coffee with my daughter and son-in-law, and then we went and voted down at the Macon County building. Mm-hmm. Terrific job down there. Those folks are doing a wonderful job.
Were there a lot of people there?
Yes. And I asked the lady, I said, has it been this crowded? Because by the time we got there, it was about 10 o'clock. She goes, the minute the doors opened, it's been crowded. And so I think that's a good sign.
Yeah.
I had some interesting conversations with some folks there.
I'm sure.
I don't know if it's a sign of things to come or it's an aberration, but I'm just saying. So.
Oh, goodness.
Yeah, you probably don't even want to know.
I'm sure I'll hear.
And then, you know what I did is I vegged just about all day watching the History Channel.
Oh, awesome.
Oh, my gosh. Is that History Channel?
I love it.
Phenomenal.
It finds its way on my TV way more frequently than it should. And it's almost never because of, like, I'm never tuning in for a special or something that I knew about. It's just because they almost always have something interesting on.
Men That Built America.
I have that series. I love that series.
Oh, my gosh. Mm-hmm. I mean, the Vanderbilts, the Rockefellers, Carnegies, and J.P. Morgans. George Westinghouse, Tesla. I didn't know that the Tesla goes all the way back to Nikola Tesla.
Yeah.
Who came up with AC power versus DC power.
Right, and the battle between he and Edison. Yeah.
Thomas Edison was a real guy. He wasn't just this caricature that you see in textbooks.
Right.
This guy was a real guy who had struggles and him and J.P. Morgan went around and around. It was a great series.
Yeah, it's like it's done very well with a little bit of narration and actors, and you can kind of feel the characters as they go through. It's very, very well done. It's one of my favorite series.
I learned more in 4 hours than I did in college about the origin of these titans.
Yeah.
That's unbelievable.
Mm-hmm.
They're not the great. I don't want to paint them as being the greatest human beings in the world. They were titans. I mean, they
were top-notch innovators.
But boy, sure, yeah. Oh, I'll tell you what, and Mike, draw parallels to our president, but we won't right now because we have a very distinguished guest on hold. By the way, though, last week, you and Brian were tough on our president. I mean, you will admit that, right?
Yeah, for sure.
Okay.
But to clarify, we weren't tough on his politics per se. We never got that far.
No, you don't think he's very presidential?
Not at all.
Well, you know, he never said he was going to be, and he did say he's not a politician, and he did say he was going to change things in Washington from the establishment to getting things done, and so that's his style in doing it. Now, you and I may not totally agree with that style, but, you know, that is his style. There are a lot of people, like I told you last time, didn't agree with Muhammad Ali's style. But they learned to like him, and then they learned to love him, and he delivered in everything he did. I think Trump, there's a parallel there. But anyway, enough about that. I just thought, since Brian was kind enough to ask me to come on, and I was texting him during that show. I was that guy texting him.
You weren't the only guy, I promise you that.
Well, I was one of them, and he was texting me back, and he said, I talked about Ray LaHood. I liked Ray LaHood. I used to have him on the radio show. I did fundraisers for Ray LaHood. He's a good man, but he is an establishment kind of guy. And he doesn't like Donald Trump. He doesn't like his methods, and he doesn't like, I guess, the polarization that he thinks Trump has caused in Washington. That's his right to his opinion. And I texted Brian about that, and he said, yeah, well, what about the other 251 Republicans against? So I think we'll address that a little bit, okay? And so with no further ado, I'd like to bring on the air Gerald Stocks. Jerry is with Featherston, Gallmer, Stocks, Flynn, and Eck. But he's really, I think, been known for as many years as the Republican chairman of Macon County, chairman of the Republican Party. He's a prominent lawyer here in town, and he's been deployed during the Bush administration, during the McCain initiative for president, during the Romney initiative for president, and now I think for the Trump initiative for president as a lawyer representing the candidates in various counties, in this case, Macon. So with no further ado, I'd like to bring on Jerry Stocks. Jerry, thank you for joining us.
Sure, Kevin.
Good morning.
Bring on the Trump cheerleaders here.
Well, I assume you're not one of the 253 Republicans against Trump. Am I correct?
I am not, no. As he indicated, sometimes he's a little cringeworthy, but the content of what he's done is, write down right what he promised and right how I think. So I really appreciate him.
Now, was I right to say that you will be hired by the Trump campaign to make sure that this election is a fair election?
What happens is every presidential year since the early aughts, I've deployed as part of the RNC, the Republican National Committee, and in coordination with the various campaigns to other states where actually the Electoral College or the state is in play. And so I've been to Wisconsin, Ohio, Missouri over the years in that. And this year it looks like I'm assigned to Wisconsin. So I just had a hip replaced. So if I'm able to physically handle the task, then I expect I'll be in Wisconsin here in a couple of weeks.
That's pretty interesting, isn't it, Nick? And one of our own right here.
Yeah, that's very cool.
Yeah, and what does that entail? I mean, are you going to be filing suits if you think there are things that are not?
When I was in 12 for Romney, I essentially triaged the fraud or the complaints that came in statewide where they'd have a panel of lawyers in a central database, and then they kicked it up from there. Because of my experience, of about five of us then triaged those reports for the state. And then we would channel out our concerns to the respective counties to say, listen, it looks like we may have harvested ballot or proxy voting, these types of issues arising in a particularized county or some other more extreme event taking place.
How involved did you get when Bush and Gore were going at it down in Florida?
Bush Gore, I was here in Macon County as Macon County chairman. So that was I was not deployed on that one. And in fact, the teams of lawyers, these election day operations with the mass of lawyers that they now set out in these target states, they hadn't even thought of that yet. So that was the birth of a far more significant legal trade, Bush Gore in 2000. But they were all on their game, and this year I expect it's going to be pretty intense out there.
Well, I personally, just from my own personal experience on Saturday, have to commend Josh Tanner and the Macon County Clerk's Office. Smooth as silk as far as getting in there. There were a lot of people. We were social distance. We all wore masks. They moved you fast. They had a process. They had several places where you could go vote. And they had many ladies at the window helping you, checking your ID, checking your signature. And it was on a Saturday. And so I tip my hat to the Macon County folks because I was pleasantly surprised. Now, with the mail-in voting, are you concerned, as say President Trump is, with the disbursements of all the ballots?
Yeah, the mischief that you concern yourself with whenever you do the easier voting and the mail-in ballot is that there needs to be a certification process that you can assure that the person making the request and the person actually casting the ballot are one and the same. For example, when you vote in person, you're at the poll book, your signature is immediately certified at that moment. But also when the ballot is sealed or dropped, a judge is certifying that's you that has walked through the process. Interestingly, in Bush v. Gore, there's a non-litigated line, but a pretty important line in that opinion, that says that the burdens of voting must be equal as to all who will be votes that are valid. And that secondary certification does not occur in a mail-in. And so what happens is that you become a little concerned that you could have ballots harvested or community organizer-type groups in multi-set housing, multi-unit housing, will collect the ballots. And some of these folks, if they can spell their name even, but you would start having multiple ballots voted by proxy, and then they're mailed in, and some of the levels of certification don't exist. And these operations are out there, and they will do that. Macon County, that's not going to happen because, A, there's not that much opportunity. And in Illinois, you won't see that type of EDO operation investment because we're never in play. But you will get in some of these other states where it is highly competitive and the stakes are so great. There is no level of investment that won't be employed to try to obtain that advantage. So, and the other thing about mail-in compared to absentee, Illinois' law isn't as bad as some of the other states, is that if you are monitoring for harvesting or proxy voting, you need the opportunity. In an absentee, you get essentially a voter request for a ballot to come back. And if you're observing this, say, on behalf of the Republicans, and you want to assure that there aren't the footprints of future fraud, you're looking for the behavior. Like, if we have a mass of absentee requests coming from one multi-unit housing, for example, we become a little bit concerned that there's going to be an organized effort. When they just pump the ballots out mail-in, we don't get that opportunity for detection and that we would otherwise have in the traditional absentee process.
How concerned are you?
How concerned in battleground states?
Yes.
It is a real concern. It happens. For example, in 2004, the first Gender Help America Vote Act, Stark County, Ohio, which was basically what I was in charge of that year, we started noticing that people, seniors that lived in multi-unit housing, this is Canton, Ohio is where this is, they were coming in and they were being told they had already voted. And in 2004, turnout was a lot higher than 2000 because everybody thought, hey, our vote counts this year. And what we discovered through the course of the day is that there had been ballots voted for absentee voters that had been dormant for a period of time. And they were making requests to the multi-unit housing and an organizer sitting there voting them in mass, sending them in. Now, the good thing was is that because they were absentee, they weren't dropped in the box. They were sealed and held. And so they could come in, and when we detected the issue, the ballot could be ripped in half, and the ballot voted on election day would pass through the box.
Hey, Jer?
But, yeah.
I got to take a break here.
Sure, you bet.
And that gives us a pretty good idea of how complicated it is, how important it is, and you know, I guess the best thing we could wish for is a blowout. Now, in our case, I hope Trump pulls out Biden. In other people's case, I guess they'd want Biden to blow out Trump. But for it to be close, real close, that's when it gets really ugly. And so let's take a break. When we come back, I'm going to let people know how they can vote at Macon County Clerk's Office. And we'll talk about this tax and a little bit more about the election with Jerry Stock. But first, here's Nick Smith with the weather.
Today, there is a chance of some morning showers, otherwise cloudy with a high of 50, and tonight, mostly cloudy with a low around 41. For Tuesday, mostly cloudy with a high of 60, and evening rain is likely. And Wednesday, mostly cloudy with a high near 68. The current temperature in downtown Decatur is 41 degrees, and your WSOY time is 6:23. This look at your weather brought to you by SIU Center for Family Medicine in Decatur.
It's National Breast Cancer Awareness Month. SIU Center for Family Medicine Decatur gives you a few things you need to know that could make you at risk. Changes in breast cancer-related genes, having your first menstrual period before age 12, never giving birth, or being older when your first child is born. Most women who are 50 to 74 years old should have a mammogram every 2 years. If you are 40 to 49 years old or think you may have a higher risk, talk to your doctor today. Make an appointment at SIU Center for Family Medicine Decatur at 872-3800.
Hi, I'm Liv Crabtree, and I wanted to ask you to vote for my teacher, Sue Scheer, in the election for state representative. Mrs. Scheer was a teacher for over 30 years, and she worked every day to give kids like me a brighter future. Now she is working to create jobs, help working families, and support our schools. Vote for jobs and a brighter future when you vote for my teacher, Sue Scheer, for state representative in this election.
Paid for by friends of Sue Scheer.
The next big thing is here. From the system that brought you Roundup Ready to Extend technology comes a soybean like no other. Introducing Extend Flex Soybeans. Elite genetics, now with the addition of glufosinate tolerance. Learn more at extendflexsoy.com. Always read and follow IRM where applicable, grain marketing and all other stewardship practices and pesticide label directions. No dicamba may be used in crop with ExtendFlex soybeans unless and until approved, and no dicamba formulations are currently registered for such use in the 2021 season.
When you talk about tires, you're talking about numbers, tire size, speed rating, load index, air pressure. But there's really only one number you need to know for tires. That's 877-5051, the phone number for Smith Tire Company. Just tell us what kind of vehicle you drive, and we'll go over the numbers with you. When you have as much experience as we have at Smith Tire Company, we know what all the numbers mean. So see Smith Tire Company today at 2119 East Pershing Road, or call us at 877-5051. That's the only number you'll need to know for tires.
You're listening to Buyers & Company, streaming live at nowdecatur.com.
Good morning. Welcome back to Buyers & Company. I'm Kevin Burhini. I'm sitting in for Brian today. He'll be back tomorrow. Nick is here all week, and we're talking to Jerry Stocks. Jerry is the former Republican chairman. How many years, Jerry, were you the Republican chairman here?
In two stints, I accumulated 10 years, and after four, you're crazy to hold on to that job.
I believe that. You're also a very prominent local attorney in town. This is what you do, is kind of a benevolent thing. Your real job is representing people who need your services.
Politics is benevolence, I guess you could call it that.
Well, it's volunteerism, let's put it that way.
Yeah, the legal work pays a little better.
So if you want to early vote, folks, you can go to 141 South Main Street, room 119. I'd go in over there on the Wood Street side, and there's a deputy that's there for security, and it's very well organized. And starting today through Friday, you can go from 8:30 in the morning to 7 o'clock at night. And then on Saturday and Sunday, you can go from 9 in the morning till 5. And then next Monday, the 26th, through Friday the 30th, again 8:30 to 7. And then on Saturday the 31st and Sunday the 1st from 9 to 5. And then on Monday from 8:30 to 7, and then Tuesday's Election Day. Boy, 2 weeks from tomorrow, it's going to be here. All right, so Jerry, with a little bit of time we have left in this half hour, by the way, can you hang on over the news and we'll talk a little bit on the other side of the news as well?
Yeah, if whatever you require, I'm here.
Well, I appreciate it because there's so much to talk about. But, Nick and I started this out by saying last week they jumped on the president pretty hard for not being very presidential and the way he conducts himself. You said he's cringeworthy, but the results, I guess in my mind, speak for themselves as well. And I didn't think he got a real fair hearing on that last week. How do you feel about it?
The results across the board, he's delivering what he promised and what he said he would do. You know, he's up against a media and an organized and deeply entrenched bureaucracy. And while we say he's cringeworthy, I don't know that he'd ever bust through and get the attention he gets if he weren't somewhat provocative. But the content of what he's accomplished and taken on basically issues that others never had the courage to confront, like trade issues, China, to confront them, foreign policy, you know, what he's done for Israel and actually stabilizing the Middle East, I believe, in turning one Muslim group against the other and using that as the organizing principle of our foreign policy for the first time in the Middle East.
Look what he's done for minorities in this country.
Oh,
he's
exactly.
He's done more in his 3.5 years than three Democratic administrations has done for African Americans.
He has, and he said he would, and he just keeps clicking off the promises that he's made, and even his immigration. Everybody thought that was is racist. That's what offends me the most, is that when they portray him as being having a racial animus, he is the farthest thing we've had in the White House from that.
Okay, Jerry, let's stop there. We're going to go to the news. When we come back, we'll continue. All right?
All right.
More of Jerry Stock right after stories and news.
This is Shiler with your stories now, brought to you by Best One of Central Illinois, where the best costs less. The Illinois Department of Public Health announced 4,245 newly confirmed cases of COVID-19 and 22 additional deaths in Illinois yesterday. This after reporting the highest one-day case total of 4,554 on Friday. Macon County also reported 90 new cases on Sunday, bringing the total in Macon County to 2,525. The Illinois Department of Public Health has reported a total of 344,048 cases in the state and 9,214 deaths. Millikan University celebrated its new $29 million Center for Theater and Dance Saturday with a ribbon cutting. The center broke ground in May of 2018 and was officially completed in August of this year. The location is on the grounds of the former home of the Richard Street University Center and houses a 260-seat theater, sound labs, costume studio, collaboration space, and more. The Center for Theater and Dance is one of three building projects under Millikan University's $85 million Transform MU capital campaign. For these stories, podcasts, and videos, go to nowdecatur.com.
Fox News, I'm Chris Foster. President Trump holds rallies in Prescott and Tucson, Arizona today, telling supporters in Carson City, Nevada,
Joe Biden is and always has been a corrupt politician. He always has been.
Joe Biden in Durham, North Carolina.
This president cares more about his Park Avenue perspective on the world, the stock market, than he does about you.
House Speaker Nancy Pelosi says a deal would have to be done by tomorrow to get more coronavirus financial relief to Americans by Election Day.
Pelosi and Treasury Secretary Steve Mnuchin have been negotiating a comprehensive package, and President Trump has indicated he's willing to go higher than a $1.8 trillion proposal made by the administration. Senate Majority Leader Mitch McConnell says that sum is too big a sell for most of his Republican members.
Fox's Jared Halpern. America's listening to Fox News.
Do you know where to find beautiful apparel and spectacular gifts? Shop on Main, of course. This boutique has ghoulishly delightful sweaters, pants, jackets, and accessories that are perfect for most ages, budgets, and styles. And the Shop on Main staff has stocked the shop with haunted decor and gifts for your special witches. Join Shop on Main Thursday, October 22nd for Witches Night Out from 3 to 7 p.m. Don't be frightened away. Come to play. Shop on Main, 407 North Main Street, downtown Decatur. Modern looks, old-fashioned pamper.
Here's a look at your WSOY 3-day weather forecast. Today's got a chance of morning showers, otherwise cloudy with a high near 50, and tonight mostly cloudy with a low around 41. For Tuesday, mostly cloudy with a high of 60 and evening rain is likely, and for Wednesday, mostly cloudy with a high near 68. The current temperature in downtown Decatur is 41 degrees and your WSOY time is 6:32.
You're listening to Byers & Company, streaming live at nowdecatur.com. It was cool, but it was all
pretend. Yeah, welcome back to Byers & Company. I'm Kevin Brahim, sitting in for Brian today. He'll be back tomorrow. I appreciate very much getting to do the show with Nick Smith. Nick, we have Jerry Stocks on the phone. You've heard a little bit what he has to say about the voting process as well as some of the accomplishments of Donald Trump. I know you and Brian last week were not crazy about the way the president's handling the pandemic, not crazy about his style. I don't want to speak for you, so go talk to Jerry. and tell him what you don't agree with what he's saying about.
I mean, I certainly believe that every American citizen and everyone in the world in that particular situation, everybody has the rights to their opinions. And I certainly respect that 100%. I also respect the democracy that's set up in the United States so that people can have dissenting opinions and still be friends and still manage to get some things done. And additionally, I feel like you can value other people's perspectives on different things. However, for me, again, this isn't Republican, Democrat. This isn't even a matter of policy. We, like I've said multiple times, we don't even get that far. This has been repeated time and time again, disinformation, misdirection, showing conflicting messaging, poor branding, poor leadership. I mean, the man comes down with COVID-19 and doesn't pump the brakes even 1%. You see large rallies surrounding him at a time when all but two states are headed in the wrong direction, all at during times where 10 states simultaneously in the same day have the highest reported cases of COVID-19. Yet he touts, being immune and given treatment that only one person in the entire world has, while saying this is all around the corner, it's coming momentarily, and that we, it's basically disappearing when we know that not to be true. And, that's fine, except for other people are willing to just continue to say, hey, he's on to something here. And I find there's a level of irresponsibility. And when people can point out that it's cringeworthy, and when people can point out that not all of it is true and just dismiss it as showmanship or, hey, he's a little rambunctious, I think is just not an accurate representation of what's going on. Again, I haven't even said anything about politics.
All right, Jerry, what do you say to that?
I would give Trump 4 stars on his handling of COVID. First of all, he's not responsible for COVID infecting anyone. Secondly, we are in a nation that enjoys and cherishes liberty. Therefore, we were going to confront a broader spread, and we can't control because we are a mobile nation with liberty and willing to interact with folks. So we are going to face infection. 3, what he mobilized in terms of respirators, medical care, and immediate reaction was unparalleled, globally unparalleled. Nobody has died for lack of a respirator. Nobody has died for lack of a hospital bed. And he's the guy who took responsibility because everyone looked to him to take leadership early on. I believe that we have to be able to live our lives and we have to have liberty to move. And it's a risk that an American uniquely must experience. We cannot lock people down. We cannot dictate certain aspects of their life. I do agree entirely that his concern about the cure being far worse than the illness is accurate. I have done 2 FOIA requests of the governor's science behind the orders he has entered. And if I were to cross-examine, it wouldn't pass what's called the Frey rule as being admissible evidence in court. Yes, it is real. Yes, people that have comorbidities, it is a nasty, nasty disease to get, but you cannot shut down a country for what has established statistically in terms of serious illness and death, not to measure up, A, to what it was expected to be, which he gets no credit for that, but B, compared to other major illnesses, the numbers just don't match up. Yes, it's serious, and I have friends, family members that have died from it. But I also know the folks, my own parents in their 80s, the last thing they'd ever want to see is somebody not doing things because they are an at-risk population. It starts with a very basic philosophical difference is where can government control the liberty of the individual? I know in the choices I've made, I traveled every weekend this summer. I took my boy out of state. We were playing baseball and trying to live as normal a life for him as I could. And I've seen it happen all over the place. And I guess I just start with a view, and I share this with Trump. is that any decisions that are motivated by fear as the initiating factor is not where we should be. There's a risk. There's a risk to living life. There's a risk to living in a free country, and I think it's been managed quite well. Managed quite well by most all governors as well. Really, I think this is a success story of government. But when you're on top and somebody needs a whipping boy, and Trump sets himself up for this, that's what he's become. And it's overshadowed really what he made move and happen that has kept the deaths down significantly.
Hey, Jared,
and I think science is there for that, too.
We've only got a couple of minutes. I want to get your opinion on one other thing. And that is this Joe Biden story that is in the news right now. Is this all timing about his son? Was this the October surprise? Is this all gamesmanship? Or do you think this is very, very real?
I think the timing of its release obviously is gamesmanship, because it appears Bannon may have had his fingerprints on how it got released. But that the story isn't really new. The story's been out there echoing for a long while. I do believe it is true that they, and I think it's true both parties and other ways, that they become merchants of their political power and merchants for their family, because that's the only way you can use that political power to make your money. You're not there 47 years and without making a lot of contacts and parlaying that into some sort of profit for your family. And so I do believe that the stories, the content of the stories, I also believe the timing of that content got an extra push right now. And he could have had that push any time over the last year and had some salience, especially since Trump got impeached for a phone call. And this would be of a magnitude many times greater with what the Biden family was involved with.
All right, Jerry, thank you for spending 45 minutes with us and giving your point of view. This is Jerry Stocks, the former Republican chairman for 10 years and a very, very good attorney here in town. We appreciate you coming on, Jerry, and thank you very much.
Thank you.
You've been listening to the Newhoff Media Podcast Network. For more, visit newhoffmedia.com.